2009, British Columbians will again be voting on whether to adopt the new voting system recommended by the BC Citizens Assembly on Electoral Reform, BCSTV. BCSTV is a more representative system in which elected representatives accurately reflect and are accountable to the will of voters. If you're interested in helping the campaign to bring fairer voting to BC, you can email us at fairvoteubc@gmail.com or visit the campaign website for more information at stv.ca. A message from the UBC Fair Vote Club.
What is sexy in Van City? I don't know. I think you're going to have to tune in and find out on 101.9 FM at 10 o'clock Wednesday nights. Stay tuned.
Wasn't quite the one. Now, wouldn't it be nice if all relationships were just like heaven? That was The Cure. And welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio, where we talk about all things that are sexy. I'm Caroline McGillivray, fresh off the plane from Toronto and back in Van City less than 3 hours ago. And to be honest, I wasn't actually sure if I was going to make it. And tonight's show, because of that, is maybe yes, maybe no, because there's a lot of maybes in relationships in general, and how to keep those maybes healthy in your relationships and your sex life. And because there are so many maybes that do come up, I have to have guests to bounce things off of. And I have Devin on from Social Fluency. Welcome to the show, Devin.
Thanks a lot.
So there's a lot of maybes just in general. And even as I was mentioning earlier, this has like been a really short notice thing. So thank you so much for doing this.
No problem.
Like today, I've been teasing my listeners all day when I was in Toronto, just in terms of whether or not there was even going to be a show. Because Marianne, who does the show after us, Hans Voss Claus, was supposed to be coming in early. And I called him as soon as I called you on the way in on the taxi from the airport. And it's like, please come help me. But I'm really excited to have you on the show. It's great. So welcome. And in terms of like in the waiting room, we were talking a little bit before the show. We dragged you out of class tonight.
That's right. Yeah, we were teaching a new group of guys about how to interact more effectively, and I had to bounce out of there early. But Zach is running the show.
Zach is amazing. We've had him on the show a lot, and he's great. And I'm really glad. So tell us a little bit about the classes that you're doing right now.
Okay, well, the one that we're working with right now is a 3-week course.
Okay.
And it's focused primarily on a few major points that help men develop more of an attractive personality.
Okay, and that feeds right in with the whole silent stalker thing terms of the maybes or maybe not.
Absolutely.
So let's go right back to the basics in terms of the When Harry Met Sally thing.
Okay.
Harry in that movie had really, really distinct things. Like, he really didn't believe men and women could be friends unless either both of them were in a other relationships than they could at that time. That was the one codicil to that rule.
Right.
What do you think of that?
I think men and women can be friends.
Okay.
I think often feelings can start to develop from one side or the other, and if communication isn't kept wide open about that sort of stuff, things can get quite complicated. So it's definitely a situational thing. I think it is possible, but I think it's
people
risky.
Need to be clear.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I think it's possible as long as there's more than one female friend. So, for example, if a guy has lots of female friends, I think that's fine. But if he tends to put, like, I'm going to be very cliche and say all his eggs in one basket, where he's got the best female friend and doesn't talk to other females, I think he kind of holds part of himself back in that sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, definitely.
But if he's able to disperse that a little bit more, I think it could be good.
Well, one side is showing a personality trait that he gets along with a lot of women and has a lot of female friends, and the other side is showcasing that he's obviously very interested in one of these people.
And at the same time, I'm like, kudos to you. You have a good relationship with another female. Yay!
Right, absolutely.
But
I think men who can sustain friendships with women tend to do a good job in the intimate relationships they get into, because they're able to communicate more openly and effectively with women in general.
Okay.
And their practice is tight. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of guys who just hang out with their guy friends all the time and have only male relationships, when they find themselves in an intimate relationship, they don't really know where they stand and how to communicate with a woman so that she understands you properly.
Okay. And how would somebody go about this? You're mentioning in the course, sometimes there, when we were talking in the green room earlier, that sometimes there's guys that they get to know a girl, but they're kind of always known as the nice guy.
Right.
And you're also mentioning there's also something called a good guy.
Right.
I personally think nice is a bland cliche.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad we agree on that.
Yeah, well,
is a good guy? In your
books. Well, yeah, I think it's an important differentiation that there's nice guys and there's good guys. Nice guys, I would say, tend to do their nice, quote-unquote, actions based on how they expect those actions to be received.
Okay, so is that what they think the girl wants as opposed to what they really want to do?
Well, what they think the girl wants, yes, and also what they think will get them something from the girl or from people in general.
So, like, bringing flowers because they think they're going to get laid?
Yeah, that's
really
a good example. I think flowers are great, and I think a man should bring his woman flowers, but it's all contextual, and it's all about setting the frame from the start that that's the kind of relationship you're going to have. Now, I wouldn't suggest bringing flowers very soon into a relationship. I would say wait quite a while before you take it to that level. I'm of the beliefs that the slower you can ease into a relationship, the longer term it's going to get.
Are we referring to sex in terms of that, or are we referring to getting to know somebody? And how do you get to know somebody really well where you make it clear right from the get-go that you want to be their best friend, but you also want to be their lover at the same time and get to know them on that, where you set that pace? Because you said that you basically, by encouraging the guys to be good guys as opposed to nice guys and doing things.
Let me complete the differentiation between those two, because I talked about nice guys. And then on the other hand, there's good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And good guys tend to do their actions based on what they feel is appropriate and what they feel will have the ultimate greater good for everyone. It's the classic alpha male action.
So he's not just going to club me on the head and drag me back to his cave?
Well, not unless you're into that sort of thing. But then the problem is, you know, people, like, they have this old saying that nice guys finish last.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty true. You know, if you're too nice, it's not attractive. If you're good, then sometimes you're nice and sometimes you just do, you make the tough decisions, and that is attractive.
Okay. So by good, you mean authentic is part of that?
Authentic, assertive.
Okay.
Dominant in a way that takes care of people. I'm not talking dominant as in dominance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking dominant as in looking out for the people around you and helping them become better people and helping the environment that you're in become...
Mm-hmm. I think with silent stalkers, there definitely has to be natural attraction on both ends of it. And sometimes it's perhaps maybe just kind of easing into it where it's like, yeah, you know, kind of joking about it maybe gently, like, what do you think? But if that girl comes right out and says, oh, honey, you know, you're like my best friend in the world. I see you as my big teddy bear, my brother. That's probably not the best girl to go after in terms of girlfriend.
Right. So when you say silent stalker, you're speaking of guys that have or women that have found themselves in the friend zone mm-hmm. with someone that they're attracted to.
Yeah, where they're not even sure. Like, I've been there myself where I've had
Me
guy
too.
Friends where you're waiting. Yeah. Where, you know, you're there and you're not sure. It's just like, okay, is this a date? Is this not a date? Okay, we hang out a lot, but there are certain things that they do that are really, really sweet. And there's those hugs that, you know, are just held a little bit too long.
Yeah.
And there's definitely some attraction, but is it enough to take it to the next level or not?
Yes, absolutely. I would say the best way to avoid getting into that scenario in the first place, which is usually the advice I give to guys, is to set a sexual frame right from the start.
Okay. And how does somebody do that?
Well,
besides taking your class, which they should be doing anyways.
Which they should be doing anyways. Thank you for that. Well, the way that you do it is by framing everything you do with, or coloring everything you do with kind of a slightly sexual angle. I'm not saying you have to speak, you know, in a sexy voice every time you talk to them, but I'm
so
saying...
So I can't use this voice every time I talk to somebody. Hi.
No, I don't think that's appropriate for every situation. On the bus, that might be
so
a little creepy. But what works is thinking of the person as an old friend.
Okay.
That you have, you know, an intimacy with that's beyond, you know, other friendships that you have. So what I would say is, right from the start, you want to set a sexual frame. You want to start by basically putting your intentions out there.
Okay.
You want to let her know that this is not, I'm not looking for another friend. I'm looking for something a bit more intimate, something that we can take to another level.
Got it.
Something I say all the time is, right when I meet a girl, I say, you know, well, within the first 30 seconds to a minute, I say, are you single? And that right there sets this frame of, you know, I'm not coming over to ask if you have the time. I'm not coming over to see what your opinions are on this and that. I'm curious about those opinions, but first I want to know what kind of, you know, frame are we going to set here? And if she's in a relationship, then the conversation continues, but I know, you know, what the limitations are going to be.
And what would you recommend if somebody came in and told you that they were half truly in love with, like, one of their friends and it's been going on for a while? What would you recommend in terms of the communication factor? Like,
okay, well... in terms
As you
of communication,
said,
there's
you know,
two things I would say. One, first, I would say...
Why did you get yourself there in the first place?
Yeah, or or maybe it's time to move on.
Yes.
I think a lot of people get stuck, and they have this vision of what is the one, or what is that? What mm-hmm. is that anyways? We don't know if that relationship is going to actually blossom into something special. Yeah, it feels really good to be around them, but who knows?
I think it's one of those things that it does feel really good, and it's hard sometimes. We're kind of terrified if we actually bring it up. Are we going to lose that friendship or not? And
right.
I think if the friendship is strong enough and it's approached in a really comfortable way, comfortable is probably not the best word to use, but
yeah.
but just in a way where it's like, you know, I like you. I find you attractive. Do you want to actually see if we can take this to the next level? Because I think you're really cool.
Yeah, and that can certainly backfire.
It can.
And
isn't it better to find that out as opposed to wasting your time where you could be
yes.
out finding somebody else?
Yes,
like, rip
absolutely.
That Band-Aid off fast.
Exactly. You can either rip the Band-Aid off or you can leave the Band-Aid on and and just move on and find something else to take your energy. I'm a big proponent of helping people just get into new things and start dating other women. And, you know, you get hooked up. Hooked on someone and hung up on that energy, and then you can pull yourself away from it and start dating other people, and you'd be surprised how that energy changes.
Mm-hmm.
And we get stuck and we think this is our only option, but it's not. There's lots and lots of options out there, especially in Vancouver.
There is, definitely. In terms of dating other people, let's just touch on XX. Yes.
Touching XX.
Or no. Pun intended.
Yes, indeed. Yes or no.
Because people live in the maybe.
That's where I would answer, probably.
And I think it's one of those things that usually there's one party
absolutely.
That usually wants to get back together.
Absolutely.
And it's like, yeah, sure, we're having sex. It's just friends. But... It's sex is a pretty intimate act to start with.
Especially with an ex.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to go right back to the deep place that you were with all the eye contact and all the words that come along with making love.
Yeah.
Because it's not ex sex. It's really, you know, sharing that intimate experience that you've had for, you know, years sometimes in the past.
It's true. Well, it's also the other thing, too, is you don't have to have any discussions, which you should, about if there's any sexually transmitted infections, keys like that, because
mm-hmm.
just because they're sleeping with you, and if you've opened it up all of a sudden, it may not be safe in terms of that. But as we were talking about in the green room beforehand, you're saying that sometimes people, if you set it up as an open relationship from the get-go, that's totally different, as opposed to switching it halfway through.
Absolutely. And that's the big mistake people do, is they mm-hmm. think, oh no, I'll do it like this, and then they get to a point where they're like, no, you know, I'd like to see other people. And that's not how it works. You got to set that frame right from the start that it's a relationship where you're not going to be too emotionally attached, but you're going to enjoy each other physically.
What other tips would you recommend for people who are getting in the pattern of XX in terms of the maybe X?
That's my advice is communicate ridiculously openly. And if either of you start wavering on anything and start, you know, feeling certain feelings that, you know, you set in advance that are not going to be appropriate, then run, because you're just going to get pulled back into the same cycle.
I agree. I think XX isn't the healthiest thing in the world, because usually that will mask what's actually wrong in the relationship, and it's really important. If you had communication issues to start with, sex only covers so much, and you can't move on. You can't fix it. It's like, if you want to work things out with your ex, talk about it. I agree. Maybe not right away. Sometimes it's best. I personally believe when you break up with somebody, there should be that no contact point for a little while. So you have that time to heal. You can actually see, am I just scared because I'm alone, or am I actually missing this person, or is it the fact that all of a sudden I'm alone and I'm freaked out and I'm never going to find anything as good as or better? So it's a matter of reevaluating, doing a lot of journaling, doing yoga, just doing some self-growth work while you're taking that time
Definitely.
Away. And then if you still feel that way, then you should see them, but not right away. It depends on how intense the relationship is.
Here's one of the things that happens, I think, when people start delving into the XX, is they, and what usually pulls them back into the X relationship.
It
and what
does.
Happens is they go from being in a deep 2-year, 3-year long relationship, breaking up, looking for something else,
mm-hmm.
and in doing so, they find, you know, small relationships, but they feel really shallow.
Yes.
And then they go back to this past relationship where they're immediately able to go deep again, right back to that, you know, 3 years of relationship. Mm-hmm. And they have the eye contact and they have the deep, you know, spiritual connection. And they feel like that's a real relationship versus the things that are happening out there. But what they miss is that they have the same compatibility issues as they had before. And the shallow relationships, that's how things have to start. That's how you have to get to know someone. You can't just dive into falling in love with someone. I mean, you can have strong feelings right away, but to have real long-term intimacy, it takes time and takes trust and working on yourselves with each other.
It depends on what your definition of love is. I've heard people use the word love and quite frivolously.
Yeah,
they're very
flagrant.
What I describe as love sluts, basically. They use that word, love you, I love you. It's like saying goodbye to somebody. I love you.
Right, and I'm all about saying I love you to people. In fact, I say it to most people in my life.
Mm-hmm. And it's important,
But you need to understand the context of that. If I'm saying it to you know, one of my close friends who's a man, I love you, brother. That's different than a girl that I just started sleeping with saying, I love you, sweetie.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
And take it from a woman. Yes, that is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to take a really quick short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about the maybes in terms of in the cheating realm, and which could lead to all different types of things. And as well as that, we are going to be just talking about how to just be healthy and living in the maybe, just in terms of that. And we've got some rules in terms of how to keep your relationship happy, healthy, and try and keep away from the infidelity, for better or worse. I think it could be really fun. So we will be right back.
Because I refuse to come back as a bug or as a rabbit.
No, you're a real up person.
Every time I see you falling, I get down on
and I'm having difficulty playing a PSA, so I'm just going to say if... Oh, no, there it goes. There is the PSA. It's not me, it's
Music
the computer.
Waste 2009 is now accepting submissions. This year's festival runs June 10th to 13th.
This summer, Music Waste will be celebrating 15 years of independence.
As the other local independent music festivals, large and small, have come and gone, Music Waste will once again highlight Vancouver's most interesting and innovative music. A testament to the strength of this musical community and the wealth of talent, Music Waste is Vancouver's independent music festival.
Submission deadline, April 15.
Please email your submissions to submissions@musicwaste.ca. And, or for more information, contact Cameron Reed by email at cameron@musicwaste.ca or visit the website at www.musicwaste.ca.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
And we are back. And I think that qualifies as a station ID. And perhaps I should have put the advisory at the very top of the show, because we are talking about sex and relationships, even though we're talking about it a little bit more in a relational way. So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. And I've got Devin Ash on from Social Fluency. And, of course, it's Caroline McGillivray, who is black, fresh from Toronto. So welcome. And with that, before the break, we've been talking about maybe or maybe not, which I could suppose means a completely different thing when it comes to things like cheating. Because there is the question, maybe cheating or maybe not cheating. And what do you think in terms of if you get somebody coming in and saying that they're considering cheating on their partner?
Well, definitely something that we push at Social Fluency is complete open honesty and communication.
Okay.
Assertiveness is essentially what that is. When someone comes in and tells us that they're planning on cheating, we do not support that action, and we don't generally teach guys who are already in relationships
how to cheat.
How to cheat, or just we don't really work with guys unless they're...
So it's not like the game.
No, not at all. Not at all.
If someone's
coming to us and they're already in a relationship, we're coming at the angle of how to better communicate with their current partner and
okay.
how to develop their relationship in a more open and kind of dynamic way.
Mm-hmm.
It would never be in respect to cheating. That being said, I think it's important, especially when you're talking about long-term relationships, to be open and forgiving.
Okay.
And I don't, I've never cheated myself, and I've never been lucky enough that I've never been cheated on. But as far as I know, right?
I was just going to say.
Right, of course. But I think that when such things take place, and they take place a lot
mm-hmm.
in our world, I think it's pretty common. And I think there's a little bit too much control that you belong to me, you belong to me. That's not really how I think we're meant to live. So I think when things do happen and cheating happens,
mm-hmm.
It's really important to communicate and to see if that's a deal breaker. And if that's the end, because sometimes, you know, people make mistakes and they need another chance. And I think it takes a strong person to forgive. It takes a much stronger person to forgive than to walk away.
I think it depends on why they cheated and
yeah.
what their reasons were.
And if the person has a tendency towards being really submissive, then it's not strong to keep going. But if they're already an open, like, strong person, then for them to understand the situation and adapt to it can often lead to an ultimately stronger relationship.
I agree and I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the relationship. So I have been cheated on and I have cheated before. So I know what on both ends of that feels like. I think it depends. If you're putting somebody's life at jeopardy because you're cheating on them and you're having unprotected sex, say, for example, it becomes a health concern.
Yeah,
and yes, that needs to be talked about. That needs to be addressed on because you owe that to your partner, especially if you're not using, you know, if if you're not using protection with your partner. If you're in a long-term monogamous relationship, many people don't. After they've been together for about 6 months, a lot of times people tend to get tested with their doctor. And it's, you, most of the time, it's fairly, you know, most of the time you expect it to be safe, but sometimes it's not. So that,
yeah, that
would
scenario
be,
is definitely, that's a danger
zone. It's a danger zone, number one. The second thing is asking yourself, what did you get out of the experience from cheating? Was it because there's the excitement? Is it lack of intimacy? And again, trying to figure out, what does the word intimacy mean within the context of your relationship? Does that mean you want them to take the garbage out more often? Or does that mean you want to get laid more often? Or does that mean you just want them to just hold you when you get home at the end of the day and actually acknowledge you and say hi? And really mean, hey, honey, I'm home.
Yeah, that's something you said in the green room that really stuck with me, is one of the people you worked with or were spending time with said they just wanted their partner to come in and really see them.
Yeah.
And I thought that, to me, that is intimacy.
I agree.
That is true intimacy, is to really have that spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the things that can be most hurt by cheating. But it's also the thing that can push you through to be able to maintain a relationship after there's been some cheating.
Intimacy and being pregnant. Or sorry, being pregnant. I've got baby brain. Whoa. And I'm not the one who's pregnant. My darling co-host, old co-host, Julia Saunders, is going
to
have a baby any day.
Yes, of course.
So I'm thinking babies. Very exciting. So I'm looking forward to it on vicariously through her.
Yes, clearly.
But with that, I meant to say communication. I'm not sure how I went from pregnant to communication, but...
it's definitely something you want to communicate about.
Definitely. In that regard, though, in terms of intimacy, I think a lot of it does come from communication at every level where it needs to be talked about, and hopefully before the cheating happens. There's also different types of cheating, and people's definitions of cheating, whether it be former President Clinton, in terms of the Monica Lewinsky thing, or whether or not it is you're chatting to somebody online. So there's different variations in terms of what actually is a cheat.
Yeah.
So for some people, your partner having a really close friend of the opposite sex sometimes can be a cheat. Or if your partner is bisexual and they've got a either a partner of the opposite, a friend that they flirt with who is either the same sexual orientation, who is bi as well, and there is that, you can see that attraction, that can be classified as cheating in some people's books, not in mine, but it depends on the relationship. But the bottom line is all that needs to be discussed, whether it be online where people are cheating on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. It's important because there's different ways.
Exactly, and I think it's important to really, of course, communicate about that, but then really look at yourself and look at your guidelines as to what constitutes
cheating.
Because, not to get too metaphysical, but we're all free spirits here, and we're all people who need to feel free to live our lives. And any relationship that I get into is going to require the woman to be quite open with my flirting, because essentially it's my job. I tend to meet a lot of women, and the women that I get into relatively long-term relationships with, they have to be open to that level of cheating, as it were. I think it's really important for that communication to happen at the beginning.
Okay.
And so that you can set the
parameters,
the guidelines as to what is allowed and what is not allowed.
Okay.
And then also, again, remembering that, people are going to be testing those boundaries, and people are going to be testing their own boundaries and doing what feels right. And if you have a deep connection with someone and they cross one of your little boundaries that makes you feel uncomfortable, sometimes you need to question your boundaries, because the people that are brought into your life are often brought into your life to help you grow and to expand those boundaries. So
that's a very valid point. On the flip side of the coin, there are times where somebody's cheating on you, and it's basically trying to stick your head in the sand because you don't want to break up the happy marriage, or you've got kids perhaps, and you don't want things to change. And so there's, in that way, it's living in the maybe as well, where it's like, maybe if I just ignore this isn't really happening.
Right. Well, I think, first of all, acknowledging that things already have changed. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone's cheating on you, you know, what do you mean you don't want them to change? Because that's changed. That's new.
Yeah.
I think at that point, communication is key. And usually the person who's cheating, if it's brought up in a way that, well, I shouldn't say this, I don't know for sure, but if it's brought up in a way that is open, honest, loving, and assertive, mm-hmm. and you're communicating from your point of view, you're not telling someone what they should or shouldn't do, you're just saying, this is how it makes me feel and this is how it's affecting me, oftentimes they will be open to changing and open to listening to your side of it and voicing their side of it. And I think, again, communication really allows for every relationship that you have to blossom in a really magical way.
And don't be afraid to get a professional involved if you want, because I really highly recommend that, especially with things like cheating, XX sometimes as well. It's not a bad thing to get a life coach who specializes in relationships, whether if you're religious at all, a spiritual leader, in whether it be a church, synagogue, a temple, whatever it is, just somewhere where you're getting some sort of support. Because sometimes if it's a really close friend, even though it's really good to chat to your friends about things, sometimes they tend to take sides and they don't see things clearly or give you the right answers, because they'll tell you what you want to hear sometimes. And if you do end up working things out with your partner, they may not treat them as well because they get very protective about
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I think seeking advice from anyone is always a risky endeavor. Mm. My father used to say that, I'm sure he continues to say it, haven't heard it in a while, but that advice is simply adding your own vices to someone else's situation. So you're really just
Can you say that one more time?
Advice is just adding vice.
Adding vice.
So you're taking your own position on things and you're kind of coloring their world with it. And it's not necessarily the most valid and constructive advice.
I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. So, I agree, and yet at the same time, if it's professional advice where it's somebody who's out of the situation, I think sometimes can be beneficial.
Absolutely.
But again, always...
Grain of salt.
Definitely. But keeping your eyes open and seeing how else you can fix things is really, really important. In terms of for relationships, I think it's really, really key as well to set things up right from the get-go so you don't need to worry about somebody cheating on you. And sometimes living in the maybe is really, really exciting as long as the communication goes hand in hand with the maybe. I think that's probably the simplest way to sum up the show in the sense of keeping it healthy. So whether it's, say, instead of cheating, which, by the way, I did play Bizarre Love Triangle, which I probably should have mentioned after the break, by New Order, which is one of both Devin and I, we both love all the 80s stuff.
Big
so
fans.
That. And in regards to that, so say you want to have a threesome where it's, again, all about communication. It's talking about that. So it's not where one person afterwards feels that the other cheated on them because they had sex with somebody else in front of them. So again, really talking these things through,
yeah.
Regardless of how it fits in. Or say you want to introduce toys into your sex life. Perhaps going to a toy party, or if you're in Vancouver, The Art of Loving, for example, is one of my favorites, and going with a partner and just saying, hey, that looks kind of cool, that looks neat, and I do have a sex tip for you, which is courtesy of Julia Saunders, formerly of Juicebox Radio. If you are using toys like, say, a vibrator, test it out on your nose, actually, on the tip of your nose. It's usually a good a point to see in terms of sensitivity if it's going to be too rough or not. Because obviously you can't just pull down your pants and actually try it out
right.
At the store.
So my nose is similar to my clit, is what you're telling me?
Yes, very sensitive.
Good.
Or the tip
know.
Of your cock, so, since you don't have a clit.
Okay.
So.
Where am I going to put that thing?
I don't know. You tell me. That sounds very fascinating, actually, and could be very hot in terms of that conversation. But in regards to with marriage, I like the fact that you were talking at the beginning in terms of getting into a relationship right from the get-go, whether it be the friends, whether it be ex, whether it be the cheating. And I think what you mentioned in terms of setting up parameters, even right from the get-go with when you're meeting somebody. So if you're into them, make sure you establish it right from the get-go. I'm not interested in just being your friend. I'm interested in getting to know you on a more intimate level.
Absolutely. This all comes back down to assertiveness.
It does.
It all comes to assertiveness, and assertiveness is one of the key ingredients, I think, to a really happy life.
Hmm.
And I think it's one of the things that people tend to avoid because it's not always the easiest path.
No.
But it does lead to much more interesting, dynamic, fun, exciting, honest relationships. And really that's what we're all trying to find, right? Is just fun, good relationships that make us feel good and help us grow.
Well, I think that's what the healthy way of living in them may be. So instead of wondering, it's like, is this going to happen or is it not? It's like, actually, you know what I'd really like to happen instead of, and it's all in your approach, right?
Absolutely.
So it's like having really defined goals is one of the key things for making a happy relationship.
And recognizing that you can only be responsible for your side of it.
Yes.
You can't make someone else fall in love with you.
No.
All you can do is, you know, express yourself in a way that truly communicates how you feel. If they reciprocate those feelings, then there's something there. But you can't, I think there's a big problem that a lot of people do is they try to control other people's feelings and to help guide the other people's feelings about them. And that doesn't work.
So that goes right back to the full circle where we're talking about nice boys at the beginning instead of good men.
Exactly. Perfect. That's beautiful.
So being authentic and being sincere and not doing things just because you think that's what the other person wants.
Yes.
So just to recap, just in case anybody missed the first half of the show, which you can download the podcast once we're finished the show. I think the other thing in terms of, and a couple more key things, is continuing to date somebody, whether or not you've been together for 25 years or whether it's, you know, tomorrow's your first date with them, making sure you actually take that time and actually get to know them. Some of my favorite couples have gotten to know each other really, really well, whether or not it's every month celebrating their month anniversary and going out where each one will take turns doing something on the other person's list of things that they like to do. And just cherishing them and then trying to find a way throughout the month where every day you do something to basically honor your partner.
Yeah, I took a course on it's called The Ultimate, and it was about...
Ultimate. I like that.
Yeah, it was a really great course. And
I may need to borrow that.
And it one of the things that they taught is basically have a competition with your partner of who can do more nice stuff for each other. So you're, like, trying, like, the whole thing is, like, who can get the dishes done first? Who can make the bed? Who can grab flowers for each other? Who can make dinner? And it's this beautiful little battle that you're trying to make the other person happy.
I like that. That actually kind of goes into some of Harville Hendrick's work, How to Get the Love You... I always forget whether it's How to Get the Love You Want or How to Get the Love You Need, where you actually live for your partner. If, in terms of reading stuff, I'm also going to add on the book... I have 5 languages of love.
Great.
Because there, you may be doing nice things for your partner, but
they don't even see it.
No, because they don't understand. And then the one person feels resentful. It's like, hey, I took the garbage out 5 times this week. What more do you want from me? And it's like, honey, I want you to bring me flowers. And it's like, oh. Okay.
Oh, I can do that.
Because some people, for those of you who haven't read the books, there's acts of service. There's different ways, which would be, of course, like taking the garbage out. There'd be things like buying flowers, which would be bestowing gifts, words of kindness, where you're just telling your partner, I love you, which I think personally...
Appreciation,
Yeah, it should be all of those things, bits and pieces of them. But some people react more to them, and they tend to service as somebody else, whoever their partner is, the way they like being served.
Exactly, and that's quite often, chances are, not the same way that they need to be.
No, and that's where the confusion happens, because sometimes both people feel they're trying in the relationship.
Again, that all comes down to communication.
It really does.
Down to assertive discussion about what you need and what is going to make you happy, and what you can do to make the other person happy.
Yes, but sometimes as well, just also keeping your eyes open for visual clues what your partner's doing. So, because sometimes people don't have the best communication skills. We spend... we get 90% of our information from what we see and 10% from what we hear. So if what's coming out of somebody's mouth, and especially because sometimes we're not sure what we want. So if we don't know what we want, how can we convey that to the other person? So it comes from, again, continuing to live in the maybe, but chatting about it and also keeping those visual clues by looking and seeing what are they really saying and talking about it. It's just like, okay, well, when you do that, like say I'm saying I love you and I'm turning away from you and I'm like, you know, doing the dishes at the same time. It's like, yeah, I love you.
Yeah, gotcha.
Like that. I don't really want to... I just don't tell me you love me when you're going to say it like that. Like,
exactly.
Actually, take your hands in mine.
See me.
Yeah. breathe. Yeah, match your breath pattern to mine, be a little tantric with it, mm-hmm. and make me happy, because I think it could be really lovely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's next for Social Fluency?
What's next for Social Fluency? Actually, we have some exciting stuff on the go.
Do tell me.
We're going to be a part of a large interview series coming up.
Interview series?
Yeah, which we can delve into later once that's all confirmed, mm. but... We're expanding our local workshops, and we're getting
great.
More and more new great guys coming in, and they're spreading the word, and we're getting the marketing out there. It's all very exciting. It's all kind of really happening now, and it's building to a point where, yeah, it's almost too much, but it's great because we just need a bigger room. That's all.
I think it's exciting. You were mentioning today that there's just so many people are signing up for things, so you're going to have to add more classes.
Exactly. More classes or bigger spaces.
I think it's great. I'm really glad you're on the show today, and thank you for playing. Well, you didn't play hooky. You did show up for class.
I did a little bit of class. I broke out for 7th and 8th period, but yeah.
But I love it. It's great. So paint me a picture in terms of what the course that you're teaching right now. Mm-hmm. What say I'm a guy, like, why would I take this course? Would I, who is it marketed to for this particular one right now?
Well, you know, the fact is it's really for any man. It's
okay.
We don't have a target market, so to speak, as to age ranges or anything.
So if I've been married for 25 years
recently
and I want
divorced.
To come in, or, you know, I've never dated before, like I'm 19 years old.
We get all sorts of guys. And the fact is these skills mm-hmm. are not about pursuing women and not about seducing women. It's about attracting women. And it's about becoming the man that naturally attracts women. Now, these are skills that are not taught to men. These are skills that you can't find, you know, in schools. So a lot of men are taking their social cues from television and, you know, popular music, and that is not leading to truth. And it's not leading to the type of man that women are truly attracted to. They end up becoming the nice guy.
And nice guys bore us to tears because we really want good guys. We don't want nice boys.
Nice guys finish last. It's a sad truth.
That is really sad. But like
good
you
men,
said...
But good men lead the show and they come first.
And I think that's really, really important.
Absolutely.
And what was I going to say? I'm sorry, I'm being distracted.
Oh, YouTube.
I'm just looking for a song to wrap up the show.
Absolutely.
But what I was going to say is we are going to be back next week. So what is your website? Just so
our
people
website
can find
is,
out more information.
Yeah, you can visit us at www.socialfluency.com. We've got all sorts of videos and some other content that you can get and kind of learn a bit more about what we do and how we teach.
Mm.
And then you can, you know, sign up for a course and change your life.
And I think change is key.
Change is key.
And I have one last question before we wrap the show. Mm. How do you find with social media, things like Facebook and things like that, do you find people are getting closer because it's another realm of communication?
That's a great question.
Or do you find that people are getting spending too much time online? There was a study that came out in regards to that where they found that people were spending too much time on Facebook and not enough face-to-face time, and people were losing their communication skills. Whereas I found it interesting because in Vancouver, anyway, we do have a really interesting community based on Twitter, which I'll educate you on.
Please.
And where they actually have tweet-ups. And because of that, they're actually meeting up, and
wow.
People are meeting people they've never met. And I don't mean just in a dating or relational way. If that comes out of it, it's great. But they're actually building these networking both for business as well as.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say Facebook and Twitter and all these different social media sites are very valuable
mm-hmm.
for networking. I do think they add an extra layer of protection.
Okay.
And communication between people. Like right now, for example, when I'm, you know, chatting on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
I have that little moment to think about what I want to say and to word it properly. And I think that's valuable in some scenarios, but when you're really trying to spark attraction, when you're really trying to connect with someone and go deep and potentially develop, you know, a lifelong relationship, you want to do it in the moment. You want to be there, and you want to see that person. You don't want to just be, you know, connecting via text or connecting via chat. It's got, like, emoticons can't really emote.
No, that is true. Although on that note, I would like to add that I think that all Facebook, Twitter, all those things can be really beneficial as well if they're used correctly in terms of the relationship. And I think it could be good just as long as it doesn't replace it and it doesn't turn into online addiction. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think I could see a side to it for sure.
I think so. Well, thank you for being on the show, Mr. Devin Ash.
Pleasure. Thank you.
And we will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Up next is Hans von Claus as Misery Hour. Marion is a very, very sexy man to be miserable with, and he was actually going to come in early tonight and cover because I wasn't sure if I was going to make it back in time from the big Toronto. But next week I will be back, and we are going to be learning about dating in the recession and dealing with that. We've touched on that a bit because I had Zach Broman on before. This time we're going to be taking some tips actually from actors and producers. Paul Armstrong from the Celluloid Social Club will be on with Brendan Beisner. And one of the reasons I'm having those guys on is because as actors, either you are working all the time and you're working 14-hour days, where how can you really have a proper relationship with somebody when you're working all the time and the only relationship you're really having is with your work, or you're not working at all? And with the recession, I think all of us who work 9 to 5, it could benefit us because when we're putting in those extra hours because the money is tight or we're not working because we've lost our jobs, I think we can learn a few things from the actors. So as we're waiting for Marion to come in, I am going to give us a little something because there is that lovely Britney concert that's going on, and everybody's going to probably hate me for this, but I'm going to end the show with Toxic. See you next week. If this thing is actually going to play.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling. There's no escape.
We got